we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA from the frozen tundra in New York. I'm Andy Hum.
Man, Northrop. I can see, you know, I moved a year ago so I could have a river view. And now what I have a view of is ice floating down the river.
They stopped running the ferries.
It's cold out there.
How are you running, Anne?
My cancer situation seems to be very quiet and good at the moment. But I've been tortured with a bad back and hips and whatever for the last month or so. And I finally got a diagnosis that makes sense to me, which is sacroiliac joint dysfunction, which seems to be a pretty common condition. So now I'm back in physical therapy and considering all sorts of strategies and trying to get rid of the pain so that I can do things like play golf this year.
So we're making a desperate plea for reinforcements.
We are. For cures for sacroiliac joint dysfunction, well, SI joint dysfunction.
Let's get to all the terrible news. Okay. So as you know, federal stormtroopers from ICE executed another legal observer, Alex Preti, but more and more Americans are getting off the sidelines to fight fascism.
Even some of the right wingers are having their eyes open to this. But Trump is flying gay Iranian immigrants back to Iran to face the death penalty.
And while all this was going on, Trump put TikTok in the United States in the hands of the same corporation that turned CBS to the far right.
Boy, they
By the way, I read that Barry Weiss wants to get rid of the host of Face the Nation. She wants a male hunk in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No,
she's not a very good lesbian.
No, she isn't. Well, she's a right-wing lesbian. And what other excuse is there for Tony DeCopel than hunkdom? Meanwhile, Philadelphia is suing to restore an exhibit about presidential slaveholding that was removed by Trump from Independence National Park because he only wants good news about America.
Darren Walker, who was the longtime out gay head of the Ford Foundation, has gone Hollywood.
Utterly predictable. An airport named for a gay icon, you may remember that, is named the world's most beautiful.
Tucson Pride has folded.
A shame. We have a report on lesbian athletes headed to the Winter Olympics in Milan, just a few of the dozens that are going to be there.
And the heated rival renews, just keeps coming, including an endorsement from New York's mayor.
This is the one that's really cute. Trump is expanding the global gag rule to cut off more humanitarian aid to nations that treat LGBT people with decency.
As if we haven't done enough damage. So you all know about Alex Preti's execution by ICE. That has been the story of the week. Yeah. We want to alert you. Of course, there are demonstrations across the country, but in New York on Thursday, January 29th, from 5 to 6 p.m., at the VA hospital, essentially, at 423 East 23rd Street, there will be a vigil of VA nurses, federal workers, in remembrance of him and all the victims of ICE. It's endorsed by a huge number of organizations, and we will be there.
Yes, if my sacroiliac allows, but Yeah, it's really interesting how this story has taken off and really had an impact, because you see him being executed with 10 shots, 11 shots, just killed close range.
I heard one of the commentators say, in war, this would have been a war crime, the way they are.
Absolutely. Operate. It's me lie all over again. It's right.
So the tide is sort of turning. First of all, let's show what, again, the brave people in Minneapolis who had a strike this past week. Look at that. The whole town shut down. I mean, everybody's out in the street saying no to this. And these are the Minnesota nice people who Trump has been going after. So the tide is sort of turning. I don't think Trump has changed at all, unless he gets rid of Kristi Noem and Steve.
Well, he's
Cash Patel.
He is being somewhat impacted. I'm in touch with a couple of people in Minneapolis who I've worked with for years, and they're just devastated by this, and talk about how angry they are and how upsetting all of this is. And I think
that's an observation. So you find now the killing of a lesbian, three shots to her, Renee Good, wasn't enough.
Well, and a woman, let's add that in. But I think the multiplier factor of the second killing, and, you know, you can see her being killed, but it's not quite as up close as Alex just lying there on the ground with five or six guys around him. They couldn't arrest him on their own. They couldn't grab him. Just one guy with a camera.
They're eager to kill people. One of them was seen immediately afterwards clapping. One of the ICE guys was clapping afterwards.
Well, and one of them was confronted.
Ooh, we got him!
One of them was confronted, and his reaction was, "Oh, boo-hoo." That's what he said. Boo-hoo.
That's their attitude, and they must be stopped. So this has prompted, finally, statements of reproach from Presidents Clinton and Obama. Finally gotten Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, to say, we're not going to go along with the ICE funding in the bill. We'll shut down the government. Now, he falls
maybe
every time.
Maybe.
But so there's that. But I mean, you know, there were all these Democrats who voted for this funding bill when it was in the House before Preddy was executed.
Well, Tom Suozzi has apologized for his
saying they're sorry, but Hakeem Jeffries did not keep his people in line. He let six Democrats vote for this bill, and that was the plan. We don't want to be seen as stopping it. So
Rose DeLauro, the Connecticut Democrat member of the House, was cheering the passage of the bill and the deal she had made with the Republicans to have just six Democrats vote against it. John Fetterman in the Senate is talking about how he's happily going to vote for the bill. He's not interested in preventing more ICE funding. He says it's too late for that anyway. They've got all the money they need, and there's lots of other stuff in the bill that needs to be passed, so I don't care about that.
Well, but even Melania, star of an upcoming documentary, has finally spoken up about the chaos that her husband has created. I'm against violence, she said, so please, if you protest, protest in peace. We need to unify in these times. There was absolutely nothing about what her husband needs to do in order to stop this. And we do need to unify to stop the violent fascism that's underway.
Well, the fear and condescension of those saying, the Trump crowd saying, demonstrate peacefully, peacefully. And Trump is backing down by replacing Bovino with Homan and sending Homan in to talk to the governor and the mayor. And
come on.
Trump talking to the governor and mayor and reporting that he'd had great conversations with them after all the things he's said about them.
He hasn't reduced any of his violence. They have the ICE operation in Minneapolis has not changed.
I understand, but I think there's going to be some modification. I think they will send some people out of there only to go into other places. And ICE guys tried to break into the Ecuador consulate in Minneapolis. God knows why. But yes, it's all still terrible. It's all still happening. And they're all still going to various cities and will go to more. But they're a little on their heels with their rhetoric at the moment.
All the former heads of ICE, including Republicans, are speaking out. We haven't heard from George W. Bush yet. But we told you about how Don Lemon was let out. He covered this protest inside a church, and Pam Bondi wants to string him up. But he is being stopped by Patrick Schlitz, a federal judge who's the chief judge in Minnesota. He's the one taking ICE to task. Now, listen to this guy. He clerked for Antonin Scalia. He supported Bork for the Supreme Court. He mentored Amy Coney Barrett, but now he's holding ICE to account. And he blasted the Justice Department over all this. And he's hauling in Todd Lyons, who's the head of ICE, to grill him about this rampant violation of court orders. And but a DHS spokesperson said, oh, he's just another activist judge who's clearly more concerned about politics than the safety of Minnesotans. I mean, these people are tone deaf. Don't they want people who can speak other than Nazi talk?
No. Pam Bondi is demanding a ransom to have ICE get out of Minneapolis. She wants all the voter rolls. She wants all the social security numbers. She wants every bit of information on every person there. It's and we learned this week, as if we didn't know this already, that DOGE, the Department of whatever it was, Government Efficiency, which took all the social security numbers last year, has in fact misused them. And we saw that coming. We saw it coming when it happened, and they wouldn't admit it. And now we are finding that's true.
Pope Leo's top cardinal in the U.S., Joseph Tobin of Newark, is calling ICE to be defunded. You know, they warn Democrats, don't say defund ICE. He's saying it because it's a lawless organization engaged in the machinery of death. So the MAGA heads are exploding, but the cardinal went further. He urged Catholics to contact their lawmakers and demand that they oppose any new funding for the paramilitary group.
And they're still in court arguing about whether any of these raids are legal. And it's possible that we will get decisions shortly from judges saying that everything ICE is doing is unconstitutional. That would be helpful.
And by the way, the Hetrick Martin Institute, where Ann and I used to work in the education department, it provides social services to LGBTQ youth. They have outlined procedures, as most social service organizations are doing, for keeping ICE from their premises without a warrant signed by a judge. And you can go to hmi.org and read about it, but we'll include that in our email. Your organization ought to have a similar policy.
And you showed the picture of the demonstrators in Minneapolis, very inspiring, very encouraging. And people are beginning to talk more and more about the need for people in the streets reaching critical mass and how that is affecting Trump and his people. And we are pushing back. And it just reminds me once again to recommend the PBS documentary, The Movement and the Madmen. Man from the American Experience series about Vietnam and the anti-war protests that grew and grew and grew. And this is particularly about 1969 and how eventually it forced the end to the Vietnam War. And if you have access to PBS video, the movement and the madman is great instruction for these mass demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations in the streets.
This calls for expanding that to a national strike. I mean, Minnesota had a statewide strike.
Yep.
The U.S. delegation to the Milan Winter Olympics will be bringing in their stormtroopers with them for protection, and the Italians are outraged. They're bringing in ICE to protect them. I mean, Milan is saying, no, you can't, you know. Bringing to Milan a militia, the mayor said there, which distinguished itself, and this is not my opinion, he said, with criminal acts, which kills, which enters into the homes of American citizens without authorization. I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, I'll say a couple of things. First, they were in Paris 2 years ago for the Summer Olympics with the U.S. Team. This is a separate division of ICE, but ICE has so disgraced itself around the U.S. that people are not making that distinction. There's also talk in Europe and around the world of countries boycotting the World Cup games in the U.S., not coming here because of all this violence and horror. So the world is well aware of what's going on and watching this closely.
All right, more Trump horror. You know, he's been saying how horrible the Iranians are and, criticizing the crackdown on the demonstrations. Well, now he's flying these flights of Iranian asylum seekers back to Iran, including a gay couple who face the death penalty when they get back.
Absolutely. And you think he cares? Absolutely not. Plus, what she's about to bomb Iran, and that won't help world peace either.
And then TikTok in the United States is now in the hands of the right-wing corporation. What is it? Ellis of the Ellisons.
Oracle.
Again, he just wants to control all media, corporate media. He's already shut down, money for PBS. He wants to, and goes after all the newspapers as well. Well, now he's going to control TikTok.
Well, they passed a law trying to get TikTok out of the hands of the Chinese because they thought that was dangerous because the Chinese would have too much information about U.S. users. So what do? They then turn it over to Larry Ellison and other U.S. corporations. And they're going to collect information on citizenship, immigration status, and all your use of TikTok. So the Chinese, Larry Ellison, take your pick.
TikTok, it used to be fun. Should we
luckily,
go to? Luckily,
I never got into that.
Should we go to the Kennedy Center? Let's not.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
We have new news on who's not going to the Kennedy Center, starting with a couple of Kennedy Center honorees. First of all, Renee Fleming, the very famous and accomplished opera singer, has canceled, as this says, her Kennedy Center concerts. And Philip Glass.
But Renee didn't make any statement. She just said, I'm not coming.
Yeah. Philip Glass has written a new symphony about Abraham Lincoln, which was supposed to be performed there with the National Symphony Orchestra. He has canceled that. The National Symphony Orchestra, however, has not pulled out of the Kennedy Center. They say they're going to hang in there.
Well, they are extremely entwined financially. It kind of would be the end of it if they did, but, so what? But I went online after Philip Glass announced that, you can't do my Lincoln piece or premiere. 80% of the seats were still available at that moment. So they're not selling these tickets.
No, they're not. Tell us about the historical echo of this.
What? What are you talking about?
Pulling out Kennedy Center.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, sure. I was looking through some old gay cable network footage looking for something else. But then there was a story that was done by Olivia Negron and George Strahanis on the Gay Cable Network's Pride and Progress, which was the predecessor of Gay USA. And they
40 years ago, 1986.
That they reported on a problem with the Kennedy Center.
And we're enchanted to have you with us once again for another edition of Pride and Progress.
And in our first story tonight, I'm sorry to say, we're feeling the first of, I'm sure, many repercussions concerning the Georgia sodomy law decision, this time in the world of theater. Olivia?
Yes, this is a particularly painful theater story. On July 15th, the Kennedy Center in Washington and the producers of The Normal Heart, the play about AIDS, written by Larry Kramer, announced that they had canceled plans for the play to be performed in Washington, presumably as a result of the recent Supreme Court ruling upholding sodomy laws. According to Mr. Kramer, Roger Stevens, head of the Kennedy Center, had made a verbal agreement with producers Michael Fraser and Randy Johnson to produce the play at the center this fall on June 30, the day of the High Court's ruling. However, Fraser received a call from Stevens calling the production off. Stevens said he did not feel that the Board of Trustees of the center would approve the play's production in light of the High Court's ruling. Mr. Johnson, who produced the play in Los Angeles, claimed the decision to be a combination of the Supreme Court ruling, Reaganomics, and homophobia. George?
Thank you, Olivia. Johnson also blamed the conservatism in the nation's capital for the decision. I think they're scared of the subject, he said. They're afraid to let people see what the government is doing to suppress gay rights and the AIDS issue. Alan Wasser, general manager of the Kennedy Center, alleged that it was very unlikely the Supreme Court ruling had any effect on the decision. It was my sense that The Normal Heart was not a very good script, he said. Do you believe that? He said that's why it was cut. Mr. Kramer, however, called Wasser's contention an out-and-out lie. He said that up until June 30th, the day of the court's ruling, negotiations were proceeding quite smoothly towards finalizing the play's opening date in Washington. Calling his play the first victim of the Supreme Court ruling, Kramer said that he especially wanted the play produced in the nation's capital because Washington is the place where you can get the political ear. And we will keep you posted on this. I'm hoping the ruling's going to change. It's ridiculous.
Censorship in the theater is a thing that cannot be tolerated in free society.
Exactly. But we're glad that we're all out there fighting back.
And we're still out here fighting back. Now, this was...
Those two are great. Where are they now?
No. Well, they're both... I posted this on Facebook, and I heard from George. He was grateful. I haven't heard from Olivia yet, but she's still around. Let's get them in here. Let's get them back. They dress better than we do.
Well, we used to be young once, too.
Well, of course, none of us are anymore. But, you know, it reminds me, of course, this was the Reagan era. And even though the Kennedy Center honors were pretty nonpartisan, even in those days, Reagan was censoring everything. He was censoring. In 86, he still hadn't spoken out about AIDS. And, you know, the administration was always censoring anything we tried to do. The Congress was passing laws that... You can't talk about homosexuality when you talk about AIDS. I mean, it was just a nutty.
Well, as they say, this was based around the Supreme Court, which had just decided that it was okay for a state to outlaw same-sex sex in the Bowers v. Hardwick decision.
A 5-4 decision.
Yeah, luckily later overturned. But
well, let's see what the Supreme Court will do about the censorship at the... President's House in Philadelphia by the Klan in the White House. So they had an exhibit on the wall called The Dirty Business of Slavery. And, you know, it just talked about all the relationships of presidents with, including Washington and, you know, early presidents who lived in this house with slavery. So the city of Philadelphia is suing the Park Service for removing it. And the Interior Secretary and all those people. It's gone now. I mean, it's just gone. But we should permanently try to project these things. I mean, I don't know. In some ways, they're just drawing more attention to the horrible history of the United States.
Well, I would like to think so. I don't know if enough people notice these things happening. They're tearing down more signs at national parks. that are historical signs. They're just trying to erase, they're trying to homogenize the history of the United States, which is counterproductive would be an understatement.
Well, J.D. Vance was at the Anti-Abortion March for Life this past week in Washington on the Mall. And he said under Joe Biden, the United States sought to export abortion and radical gender ideology all around the world, adding that it was no longer going to be America's role to promote what he called radical gender ideology. And of course, now they're trying to cut off all aid funds to any country that does. We'll talk a little
bit. Which is going to be a very broad brush that they're sweeping with. Now, at that March for Life, not only was he virulently anti-LGBTQ, but and abortion, obviously, there were 100 men from the Patriot Front dressed in their little uniforms marching around in formation. These are the white supremacists right out in the open with their slogans. But they were followed around by progressive activists who were playing circus clown music as they march, you know.
What ICE agents do with their time off. We had sort of a victory for parents of trans kids in LA. They sued to prevent the feds from obtaining private sensitive interview information, and they won their case against the DOJ's subpoena against Children's Hospital, but Children's Hospital's not providing the services anymore.
Well, meanwhile, the EEOC is rescinding its guidance on complying with the Bostock decision. They can't overturn the Bostock decision on their own. It is still law from the Supreme Court that there is such a thing as employment discrimination against trans people. But the EEOC had published guidance on how to follow that decision. Now they've rescinded that so that everyone will be confused and not know how to implement that in their own cases. And HHS wants to rescind gender dysphoria from the list of disabilities in their areas of control. And HHS and the Department of Education have told Minnesota that they're violating Title IX by allowing trans girls in school sports. It's not illegal in the state for these girls to participate, but the federal government is bullying Minnesota on this level too and manufacturing this as a crime, which it is not.
Well, when the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed under President George Bush Sr., Senator Jesse Helms wrote into the bill that homosexuality is not a disability. Oh, I thought that's good.
Thank you. We agree.
He just didn't want us to be protected.
I understand. And there have been debates for years about whether gender dysphoria should be included as a disability, but not in this conversation.
All right. So a little local news. Oh, it's national, too. We told you that the anti-gun activist, young Cameron Caskey, 25 years old, who had was involved in the race for Congress from our district here on the 12th in New York, he is dropping out of the race. He's going to go work with Ro Khanna on issues around Gaza.
He's the one who talked about the race in for Congress in Nadler's district being a twink off.
Quirked up white boys who have twinkish qualities about them.
And I, you know, she probably should have gotten out a long time ago, but Eleanor Holmes Norton, what a hero she was, retiring finally from Congress at 88.
She was really pushing it, hanging in there.
She was, but, you know, I remember from 50 years ago when she was a fierce, fierce fighter for civil rights. And
she used to be the, chair of the Human Rights Commission in New York City.
She did a lot of things, and she really stood out as a leader and a fighter many years ago. And her time has more than come, but she deserves a lot of credit for what she's done.
All right. Here's a what's the world's most beautiful airport? There's a group called Prix Versailles. It's an international architecture and design award. And they picked San Francisco International Airport's Harvey Milk Terminal 1. They said Harvey Milk Terminal 1, or the airport director said, it was designed to establish a new benchmark for an extraordinary airport experience, but it's being the first airport terminal in the world named for an LGBTQ leader only enhances the significance of this recognition.
It's amazing. I remember us a few years ago talking about the creation of this, and it was quite controversial at the time. And now it's the most beautiful airport in the world.
As you see there on the slide that's up, I mean, it's got a whole history thing about Harvey Milk, Mayor Moscone, Harvey's whole work in civil rights. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. All right. And congratulations to OutTrans, former colonel in the Space Force, Bree Farm. She got kicked out of the Space Force, and she is now running for Congress in Virginia.
And, you know, she says, could I be brought up on charges that are absolutely made up and false? Sure, she said. Will that stop me? No. This administration needs to be stood up to and called out at every moment that it lies and abuses its power.
Well, this is this thing that Mark Kelly is facing, too, that it in some configuration, if you've been in the armed forces, you can be called back to be charged with crimes. And so she is in that situation where they could go after her. She could be called back, but she was part of the crowd that was thrown out for being trans.
That's what they do in fascist states. Yeah. Now, nobody's stopping them from having a pride march in Tucson, but Tucson Pride in Arizona, they announced that they've canceled their upcoming Pride Festival. They're dissolving the organization, financial challenges. Come on, folks. I understand it's harder to get sponsorships and all this kind of stuff, and corporations are pulling back. Just get out in the street and march.
Yes, and there's talk about creating a new organization, but I agree. You don't need a big organization. You just need people. Look what happened in Minnesota. You can have people go out in the street spontaneously.
Look, when it started in New York and in Chicago, I'm always reminded, had the first Pride March like a day or two before New York. San Francisco, Los Angeles, it was local people just organized. We were all volunteers. I mean, I didn't do the first one, but when I joined in 75, it was still an all volunteer organization.
Right. And what are you out there for anyway? Are you out there for a party or are you out there for political advocacy? I would suggest the latter is more productive.
Especially in these times, Florida, two bills advanced out of committee that would give the state attorney general more power to investigate and press felony charges against healthcare professionals who provide gender-affirming care in the state. These bills are advancing. They stopped a lot of bad bills in Florida last year.
Yeah.
But one of them would make it a felony for doctors, school counselors, psychologists to advise minors on gender-affirming care, aid or abet them in any way. It's just, whoa. Big financial penalties, like $100,000.
Yep. And in Utah, there was a big LGBTQ rally at the Capitol in Salt Lake to protest anti-trans bills that are under consideration there. Basically, erasure of trans people with this, you know, only male and female nonsense. And one of the bills is trans employees of the state cannot interact with children in state healthcare settings. You can't hire a trans person to work in a daycare center or a hospital or clinic or whatever.
It's insane.
It is insane. They're also proposing to, in Salt Lake, they tend to have street namings after famous civil rights people. And one of them is Harvey Milk Boulevard. So there's a proposal to change Harvey Milk Boulevard to Charlie Kirk Boulevard.
Ugh.
Bad.
That's a state bill?
Yes.
Salt Lake City would never do that.
No, it has to be a state bill.
An anti-LGBTQ extremist, Darren Smith, Trump is still pushing him as the interim attorney general, U.S. attorney for Wyoming. I mean, this was proposed back in August. But he's an insurrectionist. He's got a horrible record on, he calls homosexuality harmful. He opposed marriage equality. He still supports the Family Researchers Council's positions on LGBTQ people. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And the U.S., as advertised and planned, has formally pulled out of the World Health Organization.
Oh, it's just, you know, well, you know, we'll talk a little bit about this when we talk about some people we lost this week.
Yeah. All right, on to the Super Bowl. Well, Bad Bunny is not backing down from the Trump administration. Bad Bunny has announced that in support of the LGBTQ community, they will wear a dress as part of their outfit at the...
It's not necessarily going to be the dress.
No, but it won't be the first time they've worn a dress, so there's that picture.
Well, we have another picture of Bad Bunny at the
Met Gala. Yeah, lovely. I like that outfit. But one person not at the Super Bowl watching this will be Donald Trump, who has announced that he will not go to the Super Bowl because it's too far away. California.
Why didn't you capitalize it and say because it was too woke? I mean, Bad Bunny also says that I'm performing in Spanish.
Well, he could say any of these things. And ICE, as we've told you, will be at the Super Bowl. But Trump, who doesn't like to give up on these things, says, but they like me. I would get great hands at the Super Bowl if I went, in spite of
He needs better hands, doesn't he, these days?
Well, he's been booed at the football games he's shown up at in the last year or two. And he, of course, continues to say Bad Bunny and Green Day are a terrible choice for performers. And, you know, he's forbidding any football other than the Army-Navy game on the day they do that. Nothing around that. Nothing to cover that up. We must preserve the Army-Navy game.
Now, Anne, what's this about lesbians going to the Olympics?
Yeah, stop the presses. Many, many lesbians at the Olympics always have been, always will be. But we just want to bring you up to date on a couple of them that have been featured in press for the upcoming Olympics. Where did I just put that?
Well, there
was a very nice feature on playing off the heated rivalry stuff on a lesbian couple who are skaters. Hillary Knight on the left is a member of the U.S. hockey team, very successful. And on the right is speed skater Brittany Bowe. They met at the 2022 Olympics 4 years ago. And are a very happy couple and have big smiles on their faces, and we're happy for them. And then Amber Glenn, figure skater, won the U.S. Nationals this year. She came out a few years ago as bisexual, pansexual, whatever. And we
should say she was the first U.S. woman to medal in singles at an Olympics since 2006.
She is one of the favorites at the Olympics this year. So keep your eyes open for the lesbians at the Olympics and watch out for ICE, too.
Amber said coming out was something that did set me free. I was able to feel like I wasn't being pressured into trying to fill someone else's shoes. Now, you know, she worried when she came out about judges because it's all very subjective and
very
prejudice. Are they going to get me? She said she did not experience that. She did not experience a loss of sponsorship. And she said she was really lucky not to have felt a financial pinch. But she thinks figure skating is unique.
In what way?
Well, in the sense that there's less anti-LGBTQ prejudice, she thinks.
Well, I once... well, most... I shouldn't make generalizations. There are a lot of gay men who are figure skaters, some of whom have come out, some of whom have not. So it's not entirely clear. But there are, I have to say, this whole heated rivalry thing, which we're about to get to in a second, but one more before that. There is a geometric progression, I think, in people coming out in sports. And I think that's very healthy, and we'll continue to see more and more of that. And one of them is this Australian retired basketball player, AJ Ogilvy, who came out. He's been married for 18 months to his partner. They have been together for 12 years. He's part of an Australian league, and he has been speaking out about being out.
Right. All right, so let's go to the heated rivalry news, and it starts with Mayor Mamdani. Hold the tape for a second. You know, we were all awaiting announcements from the mayor and this crisis of the snowfall, the snowstorm, and everything like that. So here's what he said at his press conference.
Snow is coming down heavily across our city, and I can think of no better excuse for New Yorkers to stay home, take a long nap, or take advantage of our public library's offer of free access to Heated Rivalry on ebook or audiobook for anyone with a library card.
He got some smiles there from the staff. The New York Public Library saw a 500% spike, 500% spike in Heated Rivalry downloads on Sunday after he plugged the books.
These are the books, not the video. That is not available from the library. You have to, where is it, on Netflix or
yes, HBO? You can get HBO Max.
Okay, thank you.
Heated Rivalry. You can get no waiting access to the books up until, I think it's up until only until like Valentine's Day or something. And then it goes back to, because there was a big waiting list to get this.
Yeah, there's a 6-book series, Game Changers, and Heated Rivalry is, two of the books are about the Heated Rivalry couple, and more are coming. The author is promising more, but it was just hilarious. And of course that made huge news all over New York and beyond, about the mayor offering library cards and access to the Heated Rivalry books.
And now members of the Montreal Canadiens were asked how would they feel if a gay NHL player came out. And at least some of them who gave, you know, said that, you know, it would go fine. And one of them was Caden Gooley, who had played with one of the out gay players and another, Luke Prokop, in the minor leagues. And he said that there was no problem there, but there are still no out NHL players.
So the Heated Rivalry stars, though, are continuing to get a lot of attention from their roles. And they were at the Olympics carrying the Olympic torch in some of the pre-Olympic torch rallies.
That's Connor Story on the left, who plays Ilya, and Hudson Williams, who plays Shane, and they were very well received there.
And in the NHL, the Ottawa Senators, because, you know, Heated Rivalry is about these players who are on, it's made by a Canadian company. It's about Canadian teams and the Boston Bruins in the NHL. So the Ottawa Senators team decided to capitalize on this. And so they decided they would try making uniform shirts with the names of the characters from Heated Rivalry, Rozanov, the Russian, and Hollander, the U.S. player. And they sold them out in about 5 seconds. There's been a huge run.
For $325 Canadian dollars a piece.
Yes. Now, it's amazingly expensive.
And all the profits are going to go to Ottawa Pride Hockey. Now, Ottawa Pride Hockey was grateful. They learned about it, like, on the news. But they're also saying, you know, the team needs to do better in terms of its embrace of LGBTQ. I should say that the fictional teams, it's not the Boston Bruins. It's a Boston team and a Montreal team and a phony league. But, you know.
Whatever. Well, what Ottawa Pride Hockey objected to with the real-life Ottawa Senators doing these jerseys is they hired a goalie who was one of the guys who boycotted Pride Night a couple of years ago and refused to participate, which is what canceled Pride Nights in the NHL for a long time, because a lot of the particularly Russian players would not participate in Pride Nights because they didn't want to face condemnation and punishment at home in Russia for having done that.
Now, this is a story from 2024 that I think we missed back then. But the fact that the greatest collegiate hockey player of the 20th century, Hopi Baker of Princeton, there's a picture of him, was gay, and he was in a relationship with a rich Princetonian sportsman, Percy Rivington Pine II, living with him for 2 years. And he died right at the end of World War I. He was in World War I as a pilot. And then Pine, you know, had this award, the Collegiate Hockey Award, named for him, built a stadium at Princeton that is still named for Hobie Baker. So all these guys, all these hockey greats who are getting the Hobie Baker Award, well, it's a gay guy.
Well, it seemed like it was somewhat known at the time that he was known as having this relationship, and
known for the relationship, right? But yeah. I mean, Pine was also a straight. I mean, he was married to a woman, et cetera. You know, Hobie had a fiance, blah 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 blah. But when Hobie was over there in Paris in World War II, he was going to parties at Cole Porter's house.
Yeah, exactly. A UK out bisexual hockey player says Heated Rivalry underplays the actual still existing homophobia in the NHL. And that is probably very true. And in other Olympic sports news, this thing about the ski jumpers and their and altering the uniforms to expand the crotch area to give them more...
to give them a fraction of an inch in terms of winning the thing.
But it turns out, according to our UK activist friend Peter Tatchell, ski jumpers are injecting acid into their penis to enlarge them, which then necessitates the expansion of the crotch area uniform, and then they end up flying farther.
Why didn't we put a parental advisory over this report? All right, stop laughing. Let's talk about a couple of people we lost. Carla Jay, the great lesbian activist, let us know about the death of Don Wiese at 59. A well-known activist in the publishing world who published a lot of diverse voices. He took the reins of Allison Books, which was an LGBTQ book publisher. And, you know, he was very dedicated to getting, and he said, look, he was repeatedly asked if the need for LGBTQ-focused publishers had been outgrown. He said, straight people, for the most part, do not have a grasp of our lives. And as a gay man, I know what our community cares about. And every book of nonfiction I publish wherein someone who's not out is identified as gay must be vetted by a lawyer, he said. So, you know, he was an insider, only 59 years old. And
Carla says he was an important contributor to LGBTQ literature, an ally for women and people of color. Edited some Bayard Rustin writings. So a tragic loss at a young age.
Yes. Well, young to us, absolutely. Yeah. Philadelphia is remembering Jeff Moran, who got this a lot from Mark Siegel. He was the sort of the first out public official in Philadelphia. It was for a committee man. But that's how they get started. This was 1976. And he also was part of the team behind getting the community center going, a $300,000 grant early on that became the William Way Center. And he was a delegate for Mondale and back in 84. And he worked in the office of Wilson Good, the first Black mayor of Philadelphia. And when Ed Rendell was elected as Philadelphia's mayor, he was hired to be the director of communications for the Department of Health, the first openly gay person to have that job. He's survived by his husband, Richard Bonds, with whom he shared his life for 53 years.
Wow. All right, we're running out of time, so okay. let's move along to international news.
Yes, go.
The Northern Ballet in the UK is producing what they're calling a raunchy, audacious ballet of Gentleman Jack, the Ann Lister story, the 19th century landowner. That's supposed to appear sometime this year. Keep your eyes open for that.
Willis Chimano is one of Kenya's biggest pop stars, amazingly out. And the news for him, he came out a couple of years ago and still working. But he has a new memoir called Heavy is the Crown, part memoir, part manifesto, all heart.
In Thailand, terrible story, a big TikTok star, Khotin Zaw Twi, beaten to death in the forest. He was from Myanmar, found across the border in Thailand. He had 1 million followers. 25 years old, a big lifestyle influencer, lured to a meeting by someone who called and said, I need help. And he was a guy who would respond to a request like that. They have arrested one person so far. They suspect there may be others involved in this, but a huge story in Southeast Asia.
And as we alluded to, the Trump administration is expanding the global gag rule, usually used to stop funding for any kind of abortion. Well, now they're going after anything related to gender ideology. And that means if they don't like what you're doing around that in your country, you get no foreign aid of any kind. It's just, combating gender ideology. Wow.
As referenced earlier, the LGBTQ fan group, soccer fan group in the UK will boycott the World Cup in the US. They're not coming. They don't think they're safe. And Patagonia, the clothing company, camping and retailer, is suing the drag performer Patagonia for $1 for trademark infringement. Now, isn't the clothing company infringing the actual geographic area of Patagonia?
It sounds like transphobia to me.
Well, Patagonia is an environmental activist, very active, and they don't want her trademarking her name and merchandise. I think people could tell the difference between Patagonia and Patagonia.
So we told you about the passing of the great Italian fashion designer Valentino, and his funeral took place at a big cathedral in Rome. The only speakers were the two men he was closest to in life, his former boyfriend turned business partner, Giancarlo Giametti, and his companion pictured there with him for the past 40 years, Vernon Bruce Hoeksema, who was born in America.
Yes. All right. AIDS news. Couple of other major deaths. First, the one who was a hero, Dr. William Foege, died at 89 in Atlanta. He was the CDC director, Centers for Disease Control, from 1977 to 1983. He was first phenomenally important and famous for eradicating smallpox in the world. Just amazing. He had a whole new theory on how to do it, and it worked.
I mean, smallpox killed 300 million people in the 20th century alone. And he eradicated it.
Astonishing. And then he, of course, was at the CDC when they published the first report of AIDS cases in 1981.
When Reagan was president.
Yes, and fought for funding, which it was very hard to get, and ended up quitting in 1983 in frustration with the Reagan administration and its refusal to pay any attention to AIDS, and just devoted his whole life to life-saving work and was beloved universally.
Highly critical of what's going on now with RFK Jr., he said, Kennedy's words can be as lethal as the smallpox virus. Then we just learned of the death of the AIDS, HIV denialist, Dr. Peter Duisberg, who caused an awful lot of trouble. He would never, he really campaigned that HIV is not the cause of AIDS. And, you know, he was a crank. I mean, of course, earlier he did some breakthrough work in cancer research, even though that was a little nutty. But, I mean, he was taken up as an advisor by Mbeki in South Africa, because they didn't want to deal with AIDS properly, and that led to a tremendous amount of more deaths.
Absolutely. Well, we're down to our last minute and 15 seconds.
Well, what to say?
Darren Walker is running a studio in Hollywood, owned by Laureen Powell Jobs, Steve Jobs' widow.
Dylan Mulvaney is going to join the cast of Six on February 16th, the trans influencer.
And the right wing is viciously attacking her online, but the producers are supporting her. I watched the first few episodes of The Beauty, the new Ryan Murphy series. It's kind of a mess.
It's sort of a horror show. Like most things. Should we go out with that little video?
Terrence Lee Randolph, March 30th, 1947, December 10th, 2024. Today we remember that freedom is not free. We have to work at it, nurture it, protect it, and even sacrifice for it. May we never forget and always remember our brothers and sisters who have served so that we may enjoy the gift of freedom. So in this moment, we remember and give thanks for their dedication and selfless service to our nation in the cause of our freedom.